Fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's tip off in Zimbabwe, where National Basketball Association players Trevor Ariza and Luke Baamute are conducting youth clinics in the capital, Harare. The 33-year-old Ariza, a 14-year NBA veteran, signed a one-year, $15 million contract last month with the Phoenix Suns. The 31-year-old Baamute, meanwhile, is a 10-year NBA veteran who signed last month for his second stint with the Los Angeles Clippers. Their training and development program is for 50 pre-selected young players, and it's part of efforts to make basketball more popular in Zimbabwe and across Africa. Columbus Mavunga tells us more from Harare.
The two NBA players, Trevor Ariza and Luke Baamute, jetted into Zimbabwe for a week-long camp for young basketballers who want to pursue the sport at a high level. Baamute, who plays for NBA's Los Angeles Clippers, explains the aim of their program.
To help the kids, the participant, improve their skills, their basketball skills, kind of open the country to basketball and trying to grow the sport here. I know in Africa in general, soccer is the number one sport, but I think basketball is definitely the second sport now. I think with everything that NBA has done on the continent and the success of African NBA players and African players in different championships in the world, the sport is growing. And the goal is to continue to grow it and to grow it here in Zimbabwe.
Baamute is from Cameroon, a country that has won 5 African football titles. And while football remains the most popular sport in Cameroon and across Africa, he and Ariza are confident basketball can grow and develop across the continent. They are joined at the camp by African basketball great Eugene Pewa Pelema, who competed for the Central African Republic at the 1988 Olympics in Seoul, South Korea. He says the winds of basketball success are catching up with Africa and the sport must be taken seriously.
Basketball is a school of life, you know, it's not just a game. You learn values, you know, team spirit, discipline, respect, I mean, all these things that you need to succeed in life. You can use sport to get kids to go to school, and if they're really good at it, then they can play basketball professionally, but at the same time, they can still getting a degree. Sometimes in Africa, I'm African myself, so I know the culture. African parents think that sport is for people who are not, you know, intelligent, but it's not true. You can be an athlete and be very smart and go to school and be successful. That's the reason why we're doing what we're doing.
As the 1988 Olympian was talking, I thought of my mother, who believes sports is for those with low IQ and for those who do not want to be rich in life. Really? The likes of Tiger Woods, David Beckham, Michael Jordan, Usain Bolt, and the late Jonah Lom prove that sports can take anyone anywhere. It's about passion, and thus the message the NBA duo of Ariza and Baamute and Pewa Pelema are telling young basketballers here during their week-long training. The program is sponsored by the United States Embassy and a local consultants group, Fundamentally Astute Athletics. They are aiming to develop and nurture emerging talent. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Columbus Mavunga in Harare, Zimbabwe.
Thanks, Columbus. I enjoyed your report. I love that bit about your mother. Yes, sports can make you rich, but you got to be passionate about it. You got to be passionate. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Now, the visit to Zimbabwe by NBA players Trevor Ariza and Luke Ba-Amute comes about 2 weeks after the 16th edition of Basketball Without Borders Africa in Johannesburg, South Africa. Basketball Without Borders is a training and developmental program sponsored by the NBA and FIBA, the International Basketball Federation. Among those on hand for Basketball Without Borders was Masai Ujiri, the team president of the NBA's Toronto Raptors, who is from Nigeria. In an interview with me in Johannesburg, Ujiri said he enjoys working with the young African players.
I haven't been done the camps for many years. It's such a privilege to be part of this and to try to be a leader to these kids here and the young players in the NBA or players in the NBA. It's such a privilege to be part of the camp.
Do you see the number of African players increasing in the NBA in the years to come?
100%. This is the next frontier, and you can see it building and coming, and the only thing stopping it is lack of facilities and lack of leagues. You know, once that gets going, we're progressing everywhere else. You know, like we had the first 10 years and it was players, and now we have a lot of scouts. We have a lot of assistant coaches in the NBA. It's such a breakthrough. I'm a prime example of that. You know, I grew up on the continent, and I work with and lead an NBA team. The next stage is how do we grow the game even more here on the continent, and I think facilities, arenas, leagues are going to be a big part of that as much as growing the youth.
That's Masai Ujiri, the president of the NBA's Toronto Raptors team. And Masai spoke with me at the 16th edition of Basketball Without Borders Africa in Johannesburg, South Africa. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In pro boxing, former world heavyweight champion Tyson Fury continues his comeback Saturday when he fights the Italian Francesco Pianetta in Belfast, Northern Ireland. After more than 2.5 years out of the ring, Fury returned to action June 9th when he stopped the Albanian Sefer Seferi in the fourth round in Manchester, England. It was Fury's 26th consecutive victory without a loss. Tyson Fury weighed in on Friday at 254.5 pounds in Belfast. Pianetta weighed in at 258 pounds. The Italian has a prize fighting record of 35 wins, 4 losses, and 1 draw. Meanwhile, WBC heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder says a deal to fight Fury is nearly done. Wilder will be a ringside TV commentator in Belfast, and he argued with Fury's team at Friday's weigh-in. In Wilder's words, as soon as Fury gets Pianetta out of the way, the fight is done. Wilder's manager, Shelley Finkel, confirmed the bout with Fury is expected to take place in November or December in New York or Las Vegas. Showtime Sports president Steven Espinoza also says a deal between Wilder and Fury is virtually done. Showtime has broadcast 10 of Wilder's fights here in the United States. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Joining us now from Abuja, Nigeria, with a package of African football news is reporter Samson Omale. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. We begin with the threat of a possible suspension by FIFA as Ghana on Thursday backed away from controversial plans to dissolve its graft-ridden football federation as it reached a deal with FIFA to clean up football administration in the country. Ghana's Attorney General had taken steps towards dissolving the embattled Ghana Football Association after an explosive documentary in June showed officials allegedly soliciting bribes worth millions of dollars. FIFA President Gianni Infantino met a senior delegation from Accra on Thursday in Switzerland, with both sides agreeing to establish a normalization committee to replace the executive committee of the Ghana Football Association. Kujo Fiano is the president of the Ghana League Club Association.
Government, the clubs, or the football people, we've dragged it up to the level that we are all seeing disaster looming. Yes, somebody can say, why not? Government has the right to get football stalled. And it is not a time to apportion blames, but to ensure that we get our football back on track. So we are trying all available means at our disposal to dialogue with government at the highest level, as major stakeholders in the game, to find a lasting solution.
Staying with FIFA, the world governing football body on Thursday released its latest ranking, which places Senegal and Tunisia as the joint highest African nations on the latest FIFA World Rankings. Tunisia dropped 3 places to 24 in the world after winning just 1 of their 3 group matches in Russia, while the Teranga Lions climbed 3 places to 24 globally after a win and a draw from their Group H campaign. Egypt are the biggest losers globally, dropping 20 places to 65 after 3 losses at the World Cup. The Faroes are now 11th on the continent. Morocco, who managed a draw and 2 losses in Russia, fell 5 places to 46 overall, while Nigeria, Africa's other representatives at the World Cup, lost just a single place after their 1 win and 2 defeats. Now to the Women's World Under-20 World Cup, where Nigeria crashed out of the competition after Spain booked their spot in the semifinals on Thursday following their 2-1 victory over Nigeria in the quarterfinals. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson, and I hope you have a sporty weekend. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. My VOA colleague Jim Stevenson joins us now with a package of golf news. And Jim tees off with an American who recently won his 3rd major title.
3 majors at 28. It's a cool feeling. It really is.
2 of those 3 major tournament wins for American Brooks Koepka came within just weeks of each other. After repeating as U.S. Open champion, Koepka captured the 100th PGA Championship at Bellerive Country Club in St. Louis.
When I look at it, what I've done in the past two months, it's incredible.
Koepka was nursing an injury to his left wrist early this year, putting his U.S. Open title defense in doubt.
Sitting in my couch watching the Masters, and to think I would do this, I would have laughed at you and told you there was no way, no chance.
And after an amazing performance at the U.S. Open, he still felt his game was a little rough.
For some reason today, I didn't quite have the touch on the greens. I left quite a few putts short. I felt like the greens were a tad bit slower than the putting green.
Tiger Woods knows the real reason Koepka won: his booming long drives off the tee.
I played with him in practice round. He was literally hitting it 340, 315 in the air. And when a guy's doing that and hitting it straight, and as good a putter as he is, it's tough to beat.
A 42-year-old Woods, with 14 major titles and just a year removed from potentially never playing again, shot a final round 6-under par 64 that turned Bellerive upside down and left him in second place alone, 2 shots behind Koepka.
I didn't know what I was going to start this year and how well I was going to play. And as I was telling Ian, I don't know what swing I was going to use. I'm in uncharted territory because no one's ever had a fused spine hitting it like I'm hitting it. So I've had to kind of figure this out on my own. And it's been really, really hard. It's a lot harder than people think.
Which left Woods
tired and hungry.
Koepka knew Woods was close to him just from the sounds of the spectators.
You could hear the roars when we were on 10 and 11, and then you could kind of hear it trickle down as they changed the leaderboards all the way through. You could hear a different roar like every 3 seconds. So we knew what was going on. It's pretty obvious when Tiger makes a birdie. I think everybody at the golf course cheers for him.
And there were so many fans cheering.
I don't even know what to say. I've never seen that many people in a golf tournament. It's actually, I know that it's a big sports town, which is awesome. And then to see all these people come out and support the golf tournament, I love it. I wish it was like that every week.
As a winner at Bellerive, Koepka also received an honorary membership to the country club.
Yeah, if I'm ever in the area, I'd love to come back and play this golf course. What the members did giving me a membership is it's so nice of them to do that.
Koepka has now won 3 of the 6 majors in which he's played and is already looking toward a future of being possibly one of the best golfers ever.
This golf course set up beautifully for me, and, you know, I'm looking forward to the next few years. If I can stay healthy and actually show up to a major, I feel like I've got a good chance.
It's a very good feeling to know that I won last year. I like this tournament, so I'm going to enjoy this week.
Italian golfer Renato Paratore is hoping changes he's made to his game will help him win a second straight Nordea Masters title.
The last month I played not good. Then before the Porsche, I practiced a lot, changing something, and then arrived at a very good score, so the game is feeling better.
Swede Alexander Bjork also has sights on winning the event on home soil in Gothenburg.
I really want to win my home championship, but it's not easy. It's a lot of very good players here this week, and everything needs to go my way if I will win.
Bjork is working through his own ambitious list of goals.
My first goal was to win my first tournament, and I did that. And I have a second goal, which is to finish within the top 20 of the Race to Dubai ranking, and that's still something I need to work a lot for.
German Martin Keimer is one of several players making the long trip from the PGA Championship in St. Louis to play just days later in Sweden.
It's always a bit tricky, you know, after major championship coming from America, obviously. I think it's a matter of dealing with the jet lag a little bit, getting to know the golf course some more and the Pro-Am.
Like PGA winner Brooks Koepka, Keimer is dealing with the after effects of a wrist injury.
I had the wrist injury, and if you have that, you know, it's quite hard sometimes to really commit to the shots, because subconsciously you always hold back a tiny bit if you want it or not, you know, and I really don't want to hold back, but it's just a reflex sometimes. So I missed quite a lot of fairways, and I needed to work on that.
English fan favorite Beef Johnston feels the path to victory could be fairly simple.
If I drive it well and put the ball in play, you can always score from the fairways. I think that's always key.
And thanks to my VOA colleague Jim Stevenson for that spicy golf package. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to tennis, in a controversial move, the Davis Cup team tournament is changing its format. For more details, let's turn to my VOA colleague Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The Davis Cup has long been considered the World Cup of tennis, but top players have been critical of the tournament's current format, citing the demands of dedicating 4 weeks of their year solely to the Davis Cup as a draining distraction. Well, on Thursday, the International Tennis Federation received a 2/3 majority vote to revamp the Davis Cup. The new event will see matches reduced from best of 5 to best of 3 sets, culminating in a shorter week-long tournament to determine the world champions. ITF President David Haggerty spoke at the annual general meeting in Orlando, Florida. Haggerty said he believes the makeover will be a game changer for tennis.
Well, it is exciting. I mean, the transformation is unbelievable, and I'm so fortunate to be the leader of the organization at this point in time, and I think it's something that the board will look back and be very proud, and the nations will look back and be very proud over the years. But this will help us transform tennis.
The ITF sealed a 25-year, $3 billion partnership with Cosmos Investment Group, led by Barcelona defender Gerard Piqué. Piqué says the road to revamp the tournament has been a long and emotional one.
It has been a long, long journey. More than 3 years working. I'm very, very proud of my team, of Cosmos. They are there celebrating. Thank you very much to all the nations that have voted in favor and the ones that have voted against, we will try to prove that we can deliver the greatest competition ever in tennis in the next 25 years.
The Davis Cup was founded in 1900, and the current break in the tournament's tradition has not come without public outcry. Tennis Australia has already strongly criticized the vote, calling it a sad day for tennis. And followers on social media were quick to respond to the Davis Cup's official Twitter announcement that read, "From 2019, the competition will see 18 nations and the world's best players compete in a week long season finale to be crowned Davis Cup champions." The reactions were pretty brutal. One follower wrote, "You've literally let a footballer dictate the future of one of the most prestigious tennis tournaments in the world. Well done." Another tweeted, "Thanks for ruining a 118-year-old event. This reform is going to cost big time in terms of fans and local revenue via tourism." And this, "Glad I saw the real Davis Cup when I did. It was a wonderful event to share with the home fans and team for 3 days, all gone." One tennis fan simply wrote, "Rest in peace, Davis Cup, 1900 to 2018. The first edition of the newly formatted Davis Cup will be held at a neutral site the week of November 18th through the 24th. The inaugural host city will be announced in the coming weeks. And that ends this week. I'll serve it back to you, Sonny. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. And you have a good weekend, too. And we'll have to see how that new Davis Cup format takes place in 2019. We're joined once again by reporter Prince Nesta, who has been a regular contributor to the Sunny Side of Sports in recent weeks. More sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you, Sunny.
Prince, kind of a bittersweet show today. I understand you're going to be packing your bags.
Yeah, absolutely. Today's my last day here at VOA, and hopefully I'll actually be back pretty soon, you know. But I'm going to be going to Michigan for at least 1 week holiday. And then I'm going to Nevada, where I'm actually studying my master's in media innovation. And so in Nevada, actually, what I always do is that apart from studying, I'm also doing graduate assistantship.
Okay.
I do reporting, you know, and I'm also a podcaster at the same time for Discover America with Prince Nesta, which is, you know, sharing my journey and experiences here in the United States.
Prince Nesta has also been musically inclined here at VOA. Tell our VOA listeners about that.
Oh, yeah. So I also help out Heather Maxwell on Music Time in Africa program, which is actually one of the longest running programs here at VOA.
It is the longest running in English. Yeah. Longest running English radio program.
Wow, yeah. And it has been such a great experience. I remember when I applied for my internship, actually, I saw it online, Music Time in Africa, and I sent Heather Maxwell an email, and she was like, "Sure, come. I've got a lot of work for you to do." And I really thank her. And I thank you too, Sunny. And of course, she's actually in Ghana. She's been traveling a lot. Ghana, Nigeria. She's in Ghana right now, and I was looking at Facebook. She was a Diamond 93.7 FM.
Diamond 93.7, if you're listening tonight, shout out for our musical VOA Diamond, Heather Maxwell. Right.
Absolutely.
She's a diamond.
She's a diamond herself. Diamond queen. And of course, you know, Sunny, I got to big up everyone here at VOA. I've really made nice friends. Thanks to them. And of course, our producer, Bill Wakinja, who I must actually say that he's got away with his English, you know. I'm still trying to figure it out, actually. That's what I've discovered about Bill. And such a nice guy, running all the controls and, you know, giving all the support and stuff like that. Patrick on the other side, thank you so much. Also, everyone here at Voice of America, and thanks, Sunny. Thank you very much, and for all the listeners.
You're welcome, Prince. One final question before you go. What is your favorite sport?
I've got, like, everything, Sunny. I grew up in a sporty environment. I played soccer. Basketball is also my favorite. I mean, rugby. I like playing tennis. Badminton is, I would say, I have a soft spot for badminton. That's what I played in high school.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I played in high school, actually. But I'm a jack of all sports.
I like that. Serving it up. We got to get a badminton net in here, Prince.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Prince Nesta. And that wraps up the August 17th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks again to our veteran VOA producer, Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Patrick Dea. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Terrorists like to travel. Terrorist groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda depend on travel, said Ambassador-at-Large and Coordinator for Counterterrorism Nathan Sales to Transatlantic Alliance partners at a recent conference hosted by the German Marshall Fund. They have to travel to receive training. They have to travel to case their targets. They have to travel to carry out their attacks. Every time they board a plane or cross a border, we have an opportunity to detect and capture them. When ISIS attempted to create a physical caliphate, an unprecedented number of foreign terrorist fighters, roughly 40,000 people, flocked to the war zone in Syria and Iraq. And now that we've liberated some 98% of the territory ISIS once held, there's a risk that some of these battle-hardened veterans will return home or relocate to third countries. To identify terrorists or suspicious persons hiding among international travelers, the United States uses PNR, or passenger name records, to search out those who may pose a threat and should be prioritized for additional screening. PNR is information provided by passengers and collected by air carriers for enabling reservations and carrying out the check-in process. In December 2017, the UN Security Council unanimously adopted Resolution 2396, which, among other things, obliges all UN member states to develop the capability to collect, process, and analyze PNR to limit terrorist travel. The United States applauds the passage of Resolution 2396 and is prepared to help other countries implement their obligations to develop PNR systems. So we will continue to push for fast and full implementation of Resolution 2396 and to highlight the value of PNR. We will also share our PNR system with any country that wants it. And we will work with the International Civil Aviation Organization to establish appropriate standards and recommended practices for PNR. The United States and the nations of Europe are strategic partners on virtually every major issue of the day. Indeed, more than partners, allies, and friends. Nowhere is this transatlantic synergy more apparent than in our joint struggle against global terrorism, said Ambassador Sales. We share the same values, we share the same interests, and we share the same enemies. In short, we're in this together. There's a lot of work ahead of us in the fight against terrorism. Only by facing it together can we win.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Tariffs and trade wars. Why does U.S. President Donald Trump favor tariffs on certain imports from both allies and adversaries alike? Do they help or hurt the U.S. economy? We'll ask our guests, Edward Gerwin of the Progressive Policy Institute and Robert Reinsch of the Center for Strategic and International Studies. That's Encounter this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Savor the flavor of African music. Hi, I'm Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Tune in, feast your ears, and dig in to an hour of amazing Pan-African music, featured interviews, and music news. Music Time in Africa, Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts, covering Africa news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.
This is VOA News.